Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. You can check us out on the website. We've got the audio there. Actually, to catch the real show, you got to see it on Verizon Fios or Cablevision. But I'm very pleased today to do part two with Gus Amador.
Great.
I feel we have a lot in common. We both have written for More Sugar, Westchester Music Monthly magazine.
Yes.
And I just love you with the Rockin' Rican. And I'm
right.
Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-Z
Reviews. Yes.
I have a lot of fun doing that. Last show we focused on your solo guitar career. We did touch upon some bands that you played in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We touched on why you continue to do it.
Yes.
Because I think 90% of people who play music for a long time have got to be masochists.
Yes.
The business beats you up.
It's brutal, yes.
Unless you're... You know, I read this article a long, long time ago, back in the 70s, and it was talking about wealthy rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
It was talking about Neil Young. But the end of the article said he represents one out of like 20 billion people who make it in the business. But anyway, I wanted to talk to you a little bit why you moved out of the... Well, you originally solo, you did the bands,
yes.
and now
mm-hmm.
you're playing coffee houses again.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even doing duos.
No, you know, it's... Maybe it's me or whatever it is. I have no idea, but it's so hard to get a group of guys together to be in the same wavelength as yourself. You know, egos, they start going all crazy on you, even though at the beginning, oh yeah, we're gonna pull this out together, blah, 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 and the next thing you know, I don't want to do that, so blah, 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 this and that. And I just got fed up with that scene. I said, you know what, I'll get mad at myself. I don't want to get mad at other people. If I screw up, I screw up, and it's on me. You know, I don't need other people, to complain about, you know, this song is like this, we want to do it like, you know, it doesn't, you know, I just can't deal with that.
I just read this book, The Amazing Adventures of, well, The Amazing Adventures of Something or Other, written by a musician from this area and his 30 years of playing $100 gigs.
Wow. Yeah.
And one thing he talks about is democracy does not work in a band.
Unfortunately, yeah, that's true. You know, that's true. You know, when you start a band, you think, oh, it's democracy, but there always has to be that one guy that's the leader no matter what.
Well, a good leader, everybody has something they do well. There might be someone in the band who can create great posters and put them up.
Sure.
There might be another person who's good at booking the band,
right,
but maybe a little weak musically. Or,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so, but you need someone in charge, I think.
Yeah, yeah, you do. You absolutely do. I was the guy that always, when I play in the bands, I would go out there and try to get the gigs for the band. We never had a manager or anything. Well, we had friends who thought they were managers.
Yeah. The manager's job is to get the gig,
right,
and so, not to take any money out.
Right. Well, so what eventually happened is I would start getting the gigs for us and stuff like that. And after a while, it was tiring. After a while, I get a lot of rejections. You know, as back then, a lot of rejections. And the last band that I play with, I have a very good friend. Mike Donales, and he became a quote-unquote manager who didn't take any percentage out of the pot at the end of the night, but he pushed us and he got us some gigs. He was good about that because he believed in us. But like I said, we only lasted about a year, but it was fun.
Name of that band?
That band was called Ocean in the Cup.
It's very interesting because what I find in the music business is in a lot of ways it reminds me of high school. It's a popularity contest.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, You're selling booze, soda,
yes,
and food.
Yes.
And at the end of the night, they're going to ring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you weren't intolerable, but you made a lot of money,
yeah, that's
you're
it.
Back. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think a lot of musicians don't understand that these are... I had someone say to me, my landlord, he's such a you-know-what, you know... We pay the rent a little late, and he curses us out. And I said, I said to this person, well, do you think he's entitled to his rent on time?
Sure.
And she goes, well, so-and-so, she hasn't paid her rent in 5 months. How do you argue with that?
I know, yeah. Well, but... I've come to the understanding that the only reason that you get booked in bars and stuff is because you got to draw the people in,
right?
And the bar has got to make money. No matter how great a musician you are, it doesn't matter if you don't draw, they're not gonna book you again. Even when I play out in coffee houses now, I get a trickle of people that come in every once in a while. It's frustrating, but I understand. You got your life. You have things
to
do.
You're not 19 years old.
I'm not 19 years old anymore. And some people do show up, and I appreciate those people. It's great, but I do it because I enjoy doing it. I'm not there out there to prove anything to anyone.
How do you promote your gigs?
I do it online a lot. I have a mailing list. I send out emails when I have gigs coming up. I do MySpace. Now I'm on Facebook also. And my mailing list, I send emails out. My girlfriend takes that email and sends it out to her mailing list. And I have people saying, when are you going to play Connecticut? I'm like, I know I should play Connecticut. but I'm trying to get back into the city, which is one of my goals, is get back into the city and perform down there.
Yeah, today for the first time, I have a gig coming up Friday, and I try to use MySpace has this event thing that
yes.
copied
yes.
from
yes,
they copied from Facebook. Mm. First, I did it in the Firefox browser,
mm-hmm.
and it wouldn't go through. And I've seen that before, because applications work differently in
yes.
different browsers. So
yes.
then I have the Internet Explorer 6 browser. I use that.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do to make sure you're not spamming is that everybody you want to send the event to, you have to click.
Okay.
You have to click on their picture or their name or something.
Right, right.
And after about 120...
You get tired.
Well, I didn't get tired.
I'm like...
But it slowed down. It slowed down. It would take like a minute to show the pictures. It'd take 2 minutes
I
for the
know,
click.
Yeah.
So halfway
yeah, it gets
through.
Frustrating. It does get frustrating.
I just said, forget it. But the thing was I actually got some good email response about the gig.
Cool.
When I got home today, which was basically, oh, we'd really love to see you, but we can't.
Well, I got your email today about the gig that you're playing.
Right.
Which is great.
Right, I have a lot of trouble with that because a lot of times you send email out and there's a lot of names in the 2 or the BCC box.
Right, right.
And they think it's spam.
Right.
And they cut you out.
Yeah.
It's like it's hard to reach people. But, I mean, unfortunately, I feel like I got to do more than I've been doing.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I mean, the funny thing is my boss at work... His son plays guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my bosses. So
right.
they're going to be sitting in with the band.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Well, they're great. They're young kids.
Sure.
They're like 16, 17.
Oh, right.
They have bands.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a lot of Hendrix.
That's what amazes me. A lot of these young kids. I have a little cousin. He's 17 years old. And he loves Jimi Hendrix. And I'm like, how the hell did you hear about Jimi Hendrix? Oh, I went online and, I did this. And I love Jimi Hendrix. And I'm like, that's great.
You know what? I think people thirst for something that's real. Because there ain't a lot that, in this day and age of reality, everything.
There isn't. And the Beatles. The Beatles are loved to this day.
Well, interesting thing. I was listening to the Please Please Me album.
Mm-hmm.
And... Don't strike me down, but a lot of it sucks and it's full of mistakes. Ringo was dropping the beat, but I mean they got better.
Sure,
They sure. got better. And yep. they always, to me, singing is 90% of it. Singing in the song is 90%.
That's correct. That's
you were
correct.
Talking last show about lead guitar.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few people who make it because they're great lead guitar
That's
players.
True. That's
true. But with Jimmy, I think it's, he was real.
Yes.
And you just, you feel it's real. Speaking of real, let's get real.
Okay. Alrighty.
So what do you got for me?
Well, let's see. Should I take one out for my CD?
Sure. Well, you know what? Let me flash the CD.
Okay.
In the proper fashion.
There you go.
We got Scott the cameraman.
Awesome, Scott.
Who goes to high school with my daughter. Or actually went to high school with my daughter. We done, Scott? Okay.
Cool.
And I'm going to give one more shout out to Rita and Kim. Behind the glass.
Doing a great job.
Yeah, baby. So what do you got for us?
This one is called Simple Life.
Dynamic. Real musicians play soft, they play loud.
Yeah.
They mix
yeah.
it up.
Yeah, I call my stuff acoustic folk punk rock.
Well, it sounds great.
For some reason I have this aggression inside of me every time I'm performing, but I keep it inside. I don't show it externally. It's that punk inside of me that to this day still comes out. Even when I'm writing a slow, mellow song, I'm like,
well, that's the nature of the beast.
That's it, basically.
Gotta be who you are.
Sure. And lately I've with all the things happening in the world, with politics and all the Obama, the change, and this, and the old regime with the Bushies and all that stuff. You know, I've gotten very political lately for some reason.
Do you have a political song?
Yes, I do. Funny you should ask.
Is it called Bushy?
No. It's another one of my observational songs. It's called Control.
How you really feel.
You gotta wake up the people. They're all asleep.
these are tough times.
Yeah, we brought upon ourselves basically. But this is not a political show. Let's get into the music then.
Yeah. So when you sit down, do you sit down to write a song, or does an idea come into your head and you feel you have to grab the guitar?
I'll sit around and I'll just play around with chords, or a line will come out of nowhere. Like this song, this Control song, I was sitting there watching Obama do his one of his many speeches, and I've been listening to a lot of underground internet radios. One of them is Alex Jones, but he's like, he's a patriot, basically, but he gets all crazy about what's going on. He's non-partisan.
Crazy sounds, you know.
Yeah, yeah. He's not left, he's not right. He's got a great movie called The Obama Deception on. It's not about Obama, but the people behind who's actually controlling the country and what's going on, basically. But getting back to writing a song, it could be anything. Anything can trigger a lyric, a chord progression. I can hear somebody talking. Oh, I like that line. Let me write it down, you know? I can build a song out of it.
So are you a believer in writing it down and saving it? Or are you a believer in, if it's good, I'll remember it?
Well, as you get older, you forget things. So I walk around with a little cassette recorder, a micro cassette recorder. And it's helped me a lot because I'll play it back and I'm like, did I do that? Did I just play? I don't remember playing that.
Cool. So it could either be a lyric or a chord progression.
It could be anything. There's no set way. Yeah, it could be anything. I could read an article in the paper, you know, a line. Oh, that's a great line to write a song about, you know.
Now, with your songs, do you post them on the web? Like, do you have your... Well, I know I heard some of your stuff on
MySpace. Yeah, when I joined MySpace 3 years ago, what I did was I downloaded some of the songs off my CD, and I had that on for a while. And then I at home, I would do some acoustic stuff. I have an old Tascam 424, cassette recorder.
That's the Porter Studio.
Yeah, it's still great. It's still kicking butt, you know. It still runs. I'm an analog guy living in a digital world, basically.
And you'll die.
So I'll record it on analog, and I'll download it to my computer, and I'll just throw it on MySpace. So there's like five or six songs you're allowed to download on MySpace. I've left two of the original songs that from the CD, and the other three or four songs are just stuff that I've done recently or that I've done live, you know. I'll use some of that recording too.
Do you sell any of your CD off of MySpace?
Not really. Basically, at the shows, I'll sell some, but a lot of times I just give them out. You know, I just give them out. Like the show this last Saturday, this last Sunday, Father's Day, the Make Music New York Festival. I had a group of people there, and I felt bad for them. You know, they're sitting there pouring rain. I said, you know what, you folks have been great. I have some CDs for you. And they were like, oh, great.
Hey, you should have given them a reduced rate.
I've gone down to $5 a CD now, so I can't reduce it anymore.
Wow. So I want to ask you one of our standard questions,
sure.
Which is, if you had a chance to put together a band or a couple of bands or substitute yourself in a band with anyone living or dead,
yeah,
who would you want to play with?
That was a very good question when you sent it to me. And basically, let's start with drums. Either John Bonham or Keith Moon on drums.
So you're like a heavy, busy bass player.
Drummer, yeah. Bass player, just to throw everything off the track, Sid Vicious, because he was such a lousy bass player, you know. Or Felix Pappalardi. You know, one of those two guys. But Sid Vicious didn't know how to play bass.
I lived around the corner from the Chelsea Hotel.
Oh, okay.
And I would see him walking hand in hand with his mother while they're going to score heroin.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, talk about dysfunctional family.
I know. On guitar, of course, like I said before, Jimi Hendrix on guitar or Stevie Ray. Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Well, you can do multiple sets.
Yeah. Together. We can. I'll just play rhythm.
All right.
I can't really think of anybody else. Or
keyboards.
Keyboards. Ooh. Keyboards. Rick Wakeman.
Wow.
Rick Wakeman. Yeah. Let's see. That's it, basically.
How about Stevie Winwood?
I'd rather go with Rick Wakeman. He's more classically trained, you know. just to cover up my mistakes when I'm playing.
Now, we talked earlier that the thing that lit your lit your match, so to speak, was the Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
Yeah. I guess a lot of people got inspired through that.
Do you remember the songs they played?
I think "I Want to Hold Your Hand" is the one that stood out. But I don't remember. I was like, what, 6 years old or something like that? 7 years old.
Now I'm dying to ask you this question. You know what? Now you know what it's going to be. Why on earth would you shave your head when you still got your hair?
Well, what happened was, I used to, like I said before, I lived in Carmel. I was, my ex-wife used to be a hairstylist, and she used to cut my hair all the time, and it got to the point she didn't, after we got divorced, I couldn't get that freebie anymore. So I used to get buzzed down at the barbershop, and I said, I woke up one day, I said, you know what, I wonder what I look like shaved. I have like a little bald spot on the back here. I said, let me shave it. So I've been shaving ever since. Actually, the funny thing about that is that last year, about September, I said, I'm going to let my hair grow out. Man, that was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life.
Why?
It took forever to grow. And then I had over here, I was missing hair. I had like little patches.
You have the fuzz.
I had, where's my hair that I used to have here? I know back here there's no hair, but you know what? I'm just shaving it again. I can't deal with this. Because I say you save on shampoo, you don't have to use a brush, you don't have to use a comb. So there you go.
So I try to grow a little soul patch here, and it came in completely white. And like after 2 months, I'd grown it, and people go, well, where's your soul patch?
And I can't grow a beard. I wanted to I can't grow a beard. I got little patches over here. Thanks, Dad, wherever you are. He passed away a few years ago.
No, sorry to hear. Yeah. Well, anyway, it was a pleasure having you come down.
It's been great, man. It's been great. It's a good experience.
Yeah, so you, like I said, you'll get the DVD, show it to your friends,
chop it up,
put it on.
Criticize myself, you know, when musicians criticize yourself.
What else?
Whatever. Thank you very much.
All right.
Great. That went faster than the first one.